Hey guys, Lance Erlein here from The Bench. This podcast is brought to you by our friends at Superior Window Company. It's time to replace your single pane windows, and right now our listeners get half off windows. Go to superiorwindowcompany.com/thebench. superiorwindowcompany.com/thebench for 50% off all home windows.
The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Erlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. Real joins us at 9 right here on ESPN 97.5. Nice night last night. James Harden with 47. Rockets win. Beat the Clip. The Clip, not scoring. Not scoring right now. Second straight game under 100 points. Rockets holding a team to 93 with Kawhi.
Kind of settling in a little bit.
Yeah. They're playing, you know.
It took a little minute.
It always does.
And they have, and you know what has been actually pretty impressive is James and Russ. And I mean, we said this about James and Chris Paul when there was doubts there. But up to this point, Russell Westbrook has been he's been fine being this, and he's very clearly the secondary guy. Like, James is very clearly the man.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, who could have ever predicted that James would be on pace for another scoring? Like, he's pushing it even further from a scoring standpoint.
Yeah. No, nobody scored like this in the first 9 games of a season ever. Ever. Or what?
It's more games than that.
It's more than
whatever, 13, I think, something like that.
Whatever. Yeah, well, yeah. What, 11 games? So this is unprecedented what James is doing right now. And 47 last night in 7 for 13. And you were right. You walked in and said, "Man, look at where he's shooting from." It's unbelievable the range right now. And you just go, "Well, if he makes them, oh well." And he was 7 of 13 from three last night.
Yeah,
16 of 17 from the line. He had 7 assists. You know, the turnovers are still, they're always going to be an issue. You can't have 1-to-1. It can't really be, you know, 7-to-6 on the turnover, the assist, the turnovers.
You prefer it.
But I guess you can when you're shooting like he does, when you score like he does. It's just what's going
to
happen.
You need it to be 2-to-1.
Wouldn't it be nice if he tightened it up a little? If he didn't, yeah. He wasn't so flippant with the ball.
Well, I mean, he has been in the past. He's been like 11-5 and, you know. But, yeah, right now.
2-to-1 would be nice.
2-to-1's fine for James, especially for a scorer like that. 2-to-1's fine. You'd love for him to keep his turnovers realistically around 4. I mean, I'm not even going to say 2 or 3. I mean, realistically for James, around 4. Low 4s is realistically, and you'd like for the assist total to be around 9 because he handles the ball so much. But it's just been a really impressive. He got off to a really terrible start shooting 3s. That's changed. He's added range to his shot. He's got the sideways step. He's got the step side shot instead of, he's got step back, but also the step sideways shot. He's shooting with just phenomenal range, getting to the paint, getting more free throws than just about anyone in history right now as well, making those free throws. And the Rockets are starting to find themselves a little bit defensively as their rotation tightens up. Yesterday, Eric Gordon was announced he'll be out for 6 weeks with a knee surgery, so. They have Ben McLemore playing. Wasn't really, you know, I didn't get much out of Ben McLemore.
Not that you're a better team without Eric Gordon, but the way he was playing.
Yeah, you got to really, now it tends to make sense. He was probably really struggling with shooting because, you know, just any lift with, he must have had pain in the knee that was really bothering lift.
Dell mentioned he was getting lipo yesterday or something.
Huh?
Yeah. He was out.
I didn't say that.
He was out because of fat or something.
You said that.
Man.
I didn't say anything. Prove that I said that.
I can find it.
No, it's in. You said can't, it yesterday. You'll never be able to find it again.
Be careful if you got it on tape.
It's on tape.
Because Dell will go find it now.
No, it's unfindable.
No, it's not really.
5 40-point games, a 39-point game, a couple of 36-point games. 59 already on the docket, 11 games into the season. Daryl Morey's point about him being the greatest scorer of all time, he may just be the greatest scorer in NBA history. We're watching something that's, we're really watching something that's special. Now, He's just got to get over the top. He's got to get that win. He's got to get that championship.
Yeah, yeah. And that's how you'll be. Ultimately, you'll be remembered as a superstar. You'll be remembered as an elite NBA talent. No, you'll be – maybe it's the other way. No, I don't know. I don't – what's the I'm trying to think if that's true, because how do we remember Stockton, Malone, and Barkley?
Well, we remind them as great, great players that just couldn't get over the top. And I think
– are they all-time great?
Somebody dropped a Tracy McGrady on him. Who, was it you or was it Raheel yesterday? Raheel dropped a Tracy McGrady.
I think he's beyond
– yeah, he's way past McGrady, I think. James is up there in the Malone and Charles Barkley neighborhood.
James is James is at a level – I really have to think about it because, I mean – James is at a level that is, rare. You had Dominique Wilkins. You got to think of – see, it wouldn't be Alex English. I'm trying to think of guys who have been great scorers. James is on a different level. I mean, James scores like Jordan.
Yeah.
James scores like Mike. There's no other – there's really no other name for it, not LeBron. I mean, this is a guy who can go get you mid-30s for a whole season. Who does – there's only one other guy who does that. His name is Michael Jordan, and I would say that James is, scores – as well as Mike, maybe better because he does have a variety. He's a better free throw shooter. He has a variety of ways to score. Now, Mike was just different. Michael Jordan could make mid-range shots. He had the follow. He had his go-to looked different because he liked to do that play out of the high post and the triangle, or not the high post, but the post and the triangle offense. Michael got better at three. You know, I think the difference is you mentioned him in the same breath with Michael, and I know it makes people a little bit, that doesn't feel right. Well, that's because we remember how clutch Michael Jordan was. We remember how many titles he was. But from a skill standpoint, it really is not a bad argument to make at all.
Mm-mm.
You say James Harden and Michael Jordan are the two best pure scorers in NBA history. That's probably an accurate statement.
Wilt has got to be.
It's almost like I put Wilt in a different category.
Yeah, that's a different
category. And I think it's unfortunate that once you really get into Wilt Chamberlain, you watch, like, Snacks, for some reason, in May, really got into Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell, and he was watching all these videos and watching Wilt run. They had some crazy footage of him doing Fosbury fly, or no, doing the scissor kick over the high jump bar and watching him run the 400 meters. He was really getting into – and. Man, I was looking at some of the stuff on Wilt. Wilt does not get enough credit for what an insane freak show he was.
Yeah.
Like in Stanley Strong, the ability to to curl like 100-pound dumbbells a piece. He was a freak show all the way around. On the court, off the court, a complete and total physical freak show, everything about him. And unfortunately, he gets put in he just played against a bunch of little white guys. He gets put in that little category.
That's not true either.
And it's not necessarily true. And what he did was like, that's kind of like the Ohio State argument. Yeah, but he's scoring 70 a game on them. Like, he's doing things. He hit 100. He hit 100.
Yeah.
Kobe shot like 90 times to get to 81 points against, I think it's Toronto once in his life, or maybe it's Vancouver Grizzlies. I can't remember, but... yeah, it was Toronto. It's insane what Wilt Chamberlain did. So yeah, you're right. He probably should be mentioned in there.
Well, and when Daryl tweeted out about James being the most prolific scorer, and I said, well, I texted him, I tweeted back, well, what about Wilt? And he said, well, I can explain that to you. And I just said, well, please don't use big words.
No.
Like you always do.
Did he explain it?
No.
The James thing is, I mean, we can play the different era game, partly because who's taking 24 and a half shots per game and who's taking the amount of threes? I was just looking at Tracy's best year. Tracy McGrady, his best year in terms of scoring, 32.1 a game. He took 24.2 shots. He simply didn't shoot enough threes to match James. He only shot 6 per game. And when James upped his level of shots to 24, like the last couple of years has been 24.5. Last year, 24.5. Currently at 24.5. Last year, 13.2 threes per game. Currently, 14 threes per game. No one has shot the amount of threes outside of Steph, and even he's going beyond Steph in terms of threes.
He's all-time numbers.
So it's crazy.
It was Craig Ackerman put out a tweet the other day. He said, you know, the Rockets, the 93-94 Rockets led the league in 3 points, and the 94-95. They both led the league in 3-point shots, and James has taken more just by himself.
You know, if I wanted to tarnish my own argument, if I wanted to try to play the other side, because I like to try to be able to argue either side, the arguments against would be he's making free throws at such an unbelievable clip and playing for free throws. I think that's fair to say. I mean, when he gets in the paint, he wants to either finish or get free throws. It is. Yeah. I mean, it's just the truth.
Isn't that what everybody wants to do?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know that James – now, James does it to a different level, the arm stuff that he'll run into people trying to draw contact. Other people might – you know, I think historically basketball was not a sport of trying to get fouled. That didn't really start happening until the 2000s. We started really seeing it. Well, anyway, I would say that if you wanted to make an argument against James, you could say – yeah, but, and you throw out Dell's argument, he has the advantage of playing in an era where you can shoot 14 times from the 3-point line every game, which gives you an automatic advantage in points, and he takes the most free throws in the history of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the counter argument to that. I would flip that around and just say, how does that not scoring? The argument is who is the best scorer, who's the most prolific in the best ways.
Points per possession. Yeah.
Who points per possession? Who is consistently doing it? And because James gets the free throw line so much and makes it a high clip, by the way, it means that it's just that's why he can score 30 a game for 100 games in a row or whatever.
I mean, the 3-point thing wasn't a counter argument. It was just simply saying he plays the game in a way that not many people have ever played it.
Well, that would be used as, I'm just telling you, that would be used as an argument against them.
Like if you're pointing out the best scorers of all time going through history, they were like, either the 3-point line didn't exist, or it was like, hey, don't shoot that many threes. That's not how the way basketball is played. Now that basketball is played this way, and he's in a system that says, you should take that many because that analytics say that makes you more efficient. It changes the scope of things.
Yeah.
And the Rockets we know the Rockets tend to game things no matter what they're doing. But James's ability to get to the line and his ability to make that many threes at that clip, I mean, I don't know if anyone's ever going to compare.
No, and I honestly don't know if I think people are getting dulled to all the 3-point shots. Like, this is such a drastic departure from just 8 years ago. I mean, just nine, just pre-James with the Rockets, you can look at when it was James was at Oklahoma City and look at the Oklahoma City team playing against the San Antonio Spurs and then playing against LeBron. And basketball looked way different less than a decade ago.
Yeah.
It's amazing how it is a different sport. It's like when pro football and college football looked the same, only pro players were better. College football became completely different. That we watch different sports, and now pro is starting to move in that direction. But now you watch pro basketball versus college basketball, low-scoring college game. It's like the opposite of the old NFL college football argument. College basketball games like, well, final score here from Hawaii, 51-38. Look, not as many threes shot, not as many made for sure. Just ratchet offenses, eat up a ton of shot clock. It's not a super enjoyable game to watch a lot of times,
nope.
College basketball.
Nope. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's talk some Texans on the other side. Biggest game that we've seen in quite a while right here coming up on Sunday. 713-780-3776.
Texas Custom Patios is who you should be talking about right now because your patio is a chance for you to get away from it all. Get out in a different area of your house that has a nice cool breeze, cool weather. You can put space heaters out there. You can get a fire pit like I have. My kids made, during the World Series, they were making s'mores out there on the fire pit when we had our first nice cool front. And you get your TV out there the way you like it, your sound system, the big receiver that'll help you work everything. And then from there, why not get an outdoor kitchen? Why not have a great pizza oven installed? Why not take it to the levels that you want to take it to? Brand new siding, brand new paint jobs, brand new windows. They really do a phenomenal job of adding onto space where there is none, or taking the space you have, the pre-existing space, and making it something really special. And if you want to see what I mean by that, go see what they did for my house. Pre-existing space that had no cover, and what they did to it is incredible. Go to tcplance.com. They have financing available so you can make your dreams come true. TexasCustomPatios.com.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city.
Hey guys, Lance Erline here from the bench. This podcast is brought to you by our friends at Superior Window Company. It's time to replace your single pane windows, and right now our listeners get half off windows. Go to superiorwindowcompany.com/the bench. superiorwindowcompany.com/the bench for 50% off all home windows.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
No, I don't focus on their offensive side. You know, I focus on my job and, you know, making sure I'm ready, making sure the guys around me ready to play, you know, execute at a high level. You know, I can't control what they're doing on their, you know, side of what, you know, Lamar got's going on. You know, I can't get caught up in all that. I just focus on, you know, my job and playing 60 minutes.
What?
I said it's probably Gilbert on my
side. Well, hopefully Gilbert
goes
at home.
Best, you know what the best thing that we saw yesterday was? The best thing that we saw yesterday was James refusing to get baited by Pat Beverly. Refused. Pat tried multiple times to get to take James out of his game, like would literally stop and squat beneath James as he's running down the court trying to get him to run into him, just trying to get James pissed. James never got baited.
Pat Beverly was not a factor.
Pat Beverly looks like he's 150 pounds now. Yeah. Is Pat Beverly, am I wrong, or is Pat Beverly look sick?
Well, that's your thought. I thought we were going to talk about the Texans. That's why I played sound. But Westbrook had his comments about Pat Beverly. Turns out he was wrong. Pat Beverly against James Harden. James Harden was 0-for-6 when Pat guarded him. So Pat did his job, at least against James. He just couldn't be on the floor because of fouls.
We'll play Russell's soundbite.
We got Russell's, and that wasn't the best thing we saw yesterday. The best thing we saw yesterday was Austin Rivers calling for his dad to get a technical.
Yeah, and then waving him off the court.
Call me.
Give me a call. Give me a call, Pops. Hey, Dad. Jeff Fink, and he's like, he took him to dinner last night. Like, he even paid for dinner.
Yeah, like, you got to worry about Doc Rivers paying for a dinner.
JVG likes when he gets to do Rocket games at home.
Yes, he loves that. I mean, and you can't blame him.
No.
I mean, he drives. It's a 15-minute drive for him to get to the arena.
If that.
How perfect is that? So this Deshaun... Okay, you know, there's a chance that this matchup is the future Brady-Manning matchup.
Yeah.
These two teams two quarterbacks.
Maybe somebody else. Maybe other interesting. Maybe Brady-Manning. I mean, maybe.
Pat Mahomes is waving at everybody.
Yeah, no. Yeah, but you got to have the team. The Texans are a special team.
Well, they were in the AFC Championship last year as opposed to the Texans.
They've got a secondary that just shut down the hottest mania going, which was Minshew mania. Yeah, they're coming off that.
Now they got Vernon Hargraves, who is going to...
Former first-round corner Vernon Hargraves.
Yep.
Got that too, Dell. From the great University of Florida.
Okay.
Florida. Miami, Florida, where the real DBU is. Quincy Wilson, Vernon Hargraves, Tease Tabor. Mm. That's real DBU.
How have those guys done?
Flameouts?
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Two of them, sassy and crybaby because they didn't like my write-up. I was too high on them, honestly.
Yeah, the next two you write up are going to be sassy, too, when you tell the world they can't tackle.
Oh, because Dell's already warned me about
Marco
a couple.
And Chris Henderson, CJ Henderson. You're going to find out those two don't like to tackle. But the Texans have a secondary. Gary and Conley's going to start. At some point, Hargraves is going to start. We're going to just first. Hey, they're like the. Remember when the Daryl Moore was collecting the 2009 first rounders who couldn't play?
Oh, this isn't the Hashim the beat at corner.
And who else?
Johnny Flynn at the other corner. That's not what this is.
That was kind of a lazy offseason for Daryl.
I mean, Vernon Hargraves. Well, he always does that. He's like, let's just see if there's anything left on this ticket. Scan this ticket anyway.
Let's see what's left of Ryan Anderson.
You did not win. Okay. I just found this on the ground. Here. Is there any chance that somebody... not a winner.
There's nothing left on this card.
Not a winner.
Why do you keep rescanning cards that were in trash cans?
$100 gift certificate cards.
Yeah.
There's like,
see if there's anything left on this.
$2.32 yeah. left.
Look, y'all talking all that that noise. All Bill O'Brien's going to say, you thought I didn't have first round picks. I can find first round picks anywhere.
I'm sorry. Conley's a first. I swear to God, I bet you he uses that at one point and says, well, we don't have first round picks, but Gary and Conley is a first. Vernon Hargraves is a first. I mean, in a way, we've got first-round picks. We added first-round picks.
No, he's not going to say
what
that.
What if he says in the press conference?
He can't say that.
If he's like, you know, we've done a lot here. We're winning games. We've done a lot to add first-round picks like Conley and Hargraves. You know, you guys may not consider it first, but these are first-round picks.
It was... And it was awfully convenient. The very first question John McClain asked him about Colin Kaepernick and whether or not he's going.
Did he slaughter that question?
I'll tell you right now, I'm very focused on Baltimore. I would never talk about anything that's relating to scouting or personnel. We did pick up Vernon Hargraves yesterday, but I took a look at him. That's all I'm worried about is Baltimore, okay? Does he not have any? Or who's picking up Hargraves if he's not looking at anything but Baltimore? Who's doing that?
Well, look at Hargraves.
That was a very convenient way to avoid that.
Yeah, he got claimed, so the Texans will pay off what's left of his contract. But it's interesting that he made it to the Texans.
Yeah,
I mean, he made it to a playoff team from a waiver claim order. Because isn't it the same as the draft?
Well, but okay, who's going to claim him?
Well, I mean, anybody who needs a corner?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, except the guy was just cut because he was late, but because lazy.
Yeah, well, but you have to claim him for his first. Well, they've been drafting corners.
He was starting for him, though. I mean.
Yeah, they've been drafting corners, but I would assume that means he's a little bit of a pain in the ass if they got rid of him. But at the same time, he really didn't play well last year. He's had injury issues. He didn't play well. I remember talking to Tyler Oberle about it when he was director of analytics. And he just said, we just haven't gotten what we were expecting out of Vernon Hargraves. And he's a smaller guy, too. So he's a little smaller, and they started getting big corners. But, I'll take him. I'll take him.
Yeah.
Conley actually played pretty well last game. Now you got Conley, you got Hargraves, you got J.J.O., Roby's coming back. I mean, all of a sudden, you just think, hey, even if Hargraves is a disappointment as a draft pick and Conley was – they're still going to be better depth-wise than anything the Texans had at corner. They're going to be better than Philip Gaines. They're going to be better than Keon Crossan. So, I mean, there you go. Has anyone ever won? Okay, here's a serious question. Has anyone ever won Coach of the Year and Executive of the Year in the same year as the same person?
I don't know. The only one would be Belichick or Pop.
He traded two first-round picks for Tunsil, but he also got two first round picks back with Conley and Hargraves.
Your take ain't new. I heard this from another Houston sports radio guy. Your take ain't new. Someone else was calling Bill O'Brien potentially the executive of the year like a week ago.
Were they doing it in a serious way?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Your take ain't new.
Well, I don't think you're being serious. Okay. So
are you?
No.
I'm sorry. Are they winning games?
Yeah, they're winning games. I've been saying that it's not such a bad trade now. The Clowney thing was terrible. Clowney was a botch that you're never going to... I mean, that he will never be able to live down. Giving them Clowney, paying $7 million, just getting a third rounder, all of those things.
I like
it.
I like that.
It's terrible. The Tunsil thing, I believe, is arguable. You've solidified your offensive line. He was a first rounder, so you got to give up at least a first rounder for him.
I think it's
he was a higher pick than you're giving up for him.
I think it's arguable. I mean, what your argument has to be, this is brand new. Like, this is the beginning of new value.
Yes.
If that's your argument, because we had never seen it except for Khalil Mack, and left tackles aren't held in the same regard as a guy who can get sacks and keep you from scoring. But if you want to make the case, hey, we are willing to overpay to find the hardest position, and if you – I'm going to real argue both sides of it, because I could easily – my argument would be, let's go look at the first-round picks who've come out the last 3 years. When are you going to find a really good left tackle? You got Ryan Ramczyk, who didn't even stay at left tackle, who's the best tackle who's come out. Who else? I mean, who else you got? You got you got, well, Greg Robinson has been a massive flop. You want to get to Cam Robinson is, you know, just kind of, he was injured a lot. You got Garrett Bowles has been a huge flop. Jake Matthews has been okay. You know, he's been solid.
Not Tunsil.
Not great. No, Tunsil is,
I mean, so,
Tunsil's the best one to
I
come
mean,
out. It's not, what I'm telling you is, well, there's not
how,
a lot of great
how
left.
How long ago was Luan?
There's not a lot of great left tackles coming out right now.
No.
And it looks like it's going to be a trend for a while.
And look at where you are right now offensively. Look what it's done for Deshaun to have an offensive line in front of him. Look at you're keeping just, four upright. All of these things are happening because you went out. I think it's been arguable for a while that this was an okay draft.
I've pointed out multiple times. It's been happening because you drafted two guys who are really good too. Who are good.
Yeah.
And Sharping and.
Yeah.
And
that cannot be. Because let me tell you, we saw what it looked like when Sharping wasn't in, and everyone's saying this Tunsil trade is a bust, and Tunsil's having to pick up. You know, it wasn't good, and it looked a little shaky for Laramie Tunsil. I think that really has to be stated that you got Sharping and now Howard who have really solidified.
Yes.
Because one guy, my whole point is, one guy can't protect the whole offensive line.
So you put four high draft picks. And that offensive line, something that you had to do. You had to do that, and you did it, and guess what? It came out right.
So far, it looks pretty good.
Looks pretty good. All right, 713-780-3776, if you'd like to get in here on ESPN.
And by the way, Deshaun just needs average. He just needs an average offensive line.
Well, no, it's better to have a good offensive line.
Well, I know, but he doesn't require. Some quarterbacks require a really good offensive line. Deshaun doesn't require a really good. It just needs to be. If it can be slightly above average or even average, he can get a lot of stuff done.
Oh, yeah.
He can get a lot of stuff done.
If you want above average, the best, actually, in poker, I got it for you. We're going to be there tomorrow. We're going to be doing the show there from tomorrow. We'll have the tournament that Lance and I will both be in, hopefully.
I have a friend of mine that won $2,600 there in a cash game two Fridays ago.
That's nice.
He's like, I just came in and. Won $2,600. I'm like,
that's nice.
Is this a normal thing for you? He goes, no, you know, he said, I just caught some cards and I just played that's smart something. And I had a dumb guy at the table. I got hooked. This guy doesn't play all the time. He's just a neighborhood player.
Well, and that's exactly what you want. A dumb guy at the table and catching cards. Guess what? You're going to win. And you're going to enjoy yourself. And you're going to have fun. I mean, don't kill yourself. If you can't afford it, don't go. But if you can and you love to play poker, this is the poker room. I was there Tuesday and there were eight tables going at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, you're not finding that anywhere
That's
else.
That's unbelievable.
Anywhere else. All you got to do is get to Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer. We got the tournament tomorrow. Just come knock us out. See, there'll be a bounty out on my head. I know that. If Lance can play, if he can get away, he's going to be there too. All you got to do is get to 7801 Westheimer. Download Poker Atlas, and you can see how many tables are going on every single minute at Prime Social.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You know, C. Neal is right. C. Neal's been around for a while. C. Neal's listening to us. I don't know. What is
soccer?
Yeah. LaCroix. Well, his name's LaCroix. He's got some kind of Frenchie or something. A Astros player won a Cy Young, and it's not being discussed. Not a knock.
Yeah, we have not even.
Just seems that in the past, this would be a huge deal. Now it won't get mentioned until the third segment. Are we taking success for granted?
A little bit. Well, so it wasn't shocking by the odds. It's going to be shocking to people, or it was, that it was Justin Verlander over Garrett Cole. Justin Verlander wins the MVP. But by the end of the year, it just seemed kind of outrageous that when you watch Justin Verlander limp into the finish line and you saw Gerrit Cole waiting to pitch a game seven
doesn't this,
in the bullpen.
Doesn't this happen with the Heisman sometimes? Doesn't this happen with, you know, MVP? There's a guy that steps up in the postseason and you're like, oh, well, that's the best player. Oh, he didn't win. And this is the case here. We know who the better pitcher was.
Who?
Gerrit Cole.
Oh, yeah.
Gerrit Cole.
Well, that's the but most of the time the regular season MVP is the or regular season Cy Young is right. There was a let's remember this is one of the rare times where two guys had elite years, and it was really difficult. One of the only arguments for Verlander or one of the primary arguments I should say is well I threw a no hitter. Well, then Cole came back with like a one hitter right after that.
Well, right.
The numbers are. Gerrit Cole's got more explosive power numbers, meaning strikeouts, etc. Verlander's number, their numbers are very, very similar. You could have easily made the case for Cole in a close one, the same way you could make the case for Verlander in a close one. At the end of the postseason, it was like, ooh, there's nobody on earth that would take Verlander over Cole in any must-win game now.
No. If it was through the playoffs, Gerrit Cole is by far. 17 first place, 13 second. Cole got 13 first, 17 second. Yeah. So the 30 riders, I mean, they
went about like the odds had it too. I mean, Justin Verlander was a very small favorite.
Yeah. And that's, and it played out that way. You know, I'm kind of glad because Derek's not here anymore and we don't give a rat's ass about him.
Yeah, we're keeping, well, he might be. Jim Crane said they're going to make a run at him.
No. He's done, and that's certainly. And did you see what Boris said? Boris said this isn't going
to
be like
Scott Boris anymore. I never did, and I don't want to. Nothing he says is good for me as a fan.
Well,
hey Scott, what's the latest? Well, your best player is going to cost you six times the amount you pay him now, and they probably won't stay there. Oh well, thanks. I'm glad I asked.
Well, the way he screwed up Maldonado worked out for the Astros. He screwed that up so bad that he got back here.
That's true. Yep. He got fired for screwing up a contract. Is there anyone in the history of sports that is more hated that isn't a non and maybe he's not anymore since everyone's so intent on players making as much as they possibly can, regardless of what it's going to mean from an expense standpoint or an inflation standpoint. But I don't remember, like, Scott Boras is considered the devil, right? But yeah. I don't, maybe there's not the same. Remember,
I don't think there's as much vitriol for him. Yeah.
I don't think there's not as much vitriol for agents. And if we have any listening right now, you remember when we used to do radio shows and agents were the bad guys?
Yes.
Agents were like, oh, agents. But you don't really get that as much anymore.
No, I don't think so. You know, Jeff Nally, he's hated. But
I don't know if Jeff's listening. Jeff is the agent for I haven't heard back.
Listens all the time.
Jeff listens all the time from Austin on the app. You can listen to the ESPN 97.5.
I gotta give it up for him too, because he has persevered on this Colin Kaepernick thing.
So Jeff is the agent. So Select Sports Group is the agency, and I've known these guys for years. I've known Jeff for almost 20 years
this
now.
This workout.
And I texted him, I haven't heard back. So,
now you don't hear back. No, he texts us during the show. Yeah, well, that guy sucks. That guy's an idiot. And that guy.
Yeah.
And now, hey, how about coming? No.
Now all of a sudden it's crickets.
He's a ghost.
But, you know, if he doesn't want to, you know, say anything that will hurt his client's chances or whatever. But Jeff
knows. Why would he hurt his client's chances?
He wouldn't. That's a fact. It's not a big deal to come on the show. It's not. Well, you come on the show, I think it's interesting to see how this has played out over the years. You know, if we're being real, I wonder how much of this Colin really wants to play, or it's financial, because that is good money. You're not going to find that money anywhere else.
We got to remember he hasn't played for over 3 years.
This is going into year three.
He's in his 30s.
This is going into year three, right?
This is 3 years now of him
17,
not playing.
18, and this is 19.
Yeah, we're almost through 19.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
I mean, so
it's going to be 3 years.
I mean, so I know, and Dominic Foxworth has him on the Patriots taking over for Brady.
Hold on a second.
He's got him on the Saints taking over for Breeze. I'm like, wait a minute. You know how old this guy is? And you're, as opposed to going and getting a young quarterback that's looking pretty good in college, you want to go get Colin
Dominic
Kaepernick?
Foxworth, really? He has all this stuff going on?
Well, he says you got to have You got to have a coach that's got some swag, okay?
No, but regardless, forget the coaching. Just pure football. And I'm just going pure football. Forget kneeling. Well,
guys believe in Colin Kaepernick, dude.
Players might, but the football is not going to lie. The tape isn't going to lie.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of Colin Kaepernick because I was doing NFL stuff at the time when he was with San Francisco. People will point to numbers he had with Chip Kelly. But that, I mean, it was their friendly looking numbers. But he was not. If you go watch the games, you do not come away with any sense that that guy is really one of the top quarterbacks in the league. Colin Kaepernick right now, and now you're minus 3 years on a career. I don't care about the age as much as because, you know, quarterbacks can play for a long time. It's 3 years away. There's going to be, you know, a lot has changed in 3 years in terms of, you know, some of these things are going to be beneficial to Colin Kaepernick with the way teams know how to use dual threat quarterbacks.
No,
actually is a benefit for
Colin Kaepernick. Probably wishes, I wish I was coming into the league right now.
But you got to give Harbaugh credit. Harbaugh did a really great job of implementing that stuff to fit him. And then
it caught up.
Well, it was a zone read, and then they had lead plays, and then they just said, all right, we're just going to attack the mesh point and hit Colin every time and make him give it. And yeah, and it changed, and it made him try to win from the pocket, and he was just not a very good passer. I mean, he just isn't. Colin Kaepernick is not very accurate, but he's got a good arm. But I think those things can be worked around, and maybe I could make an argument that now would be the best chance for him where you do have younger coaches who are more innovative, who understand that they're not trying to fit, you know, square pegs into round holes. Maybe
today
that would be
is
the
make
case.
Both arguments day.
It is. However, the big problem is going to be.
Well, you're making another argument here.
Let me flip to back to the other side. There was nothing that tells you that he is a plus quarterback. He is definitely good enough to play in the NFL. Or at least he was. You know, I don't know.
He's definitely good enough to back up. But when you see last year the Josh 100%. Johnsons and the, I mean, good Lord.
Colin Kaepernick could be a backup, could come in. Now, how does he play? I don't know. He might not play well anymore.
We don't know.
It may have passed him by. But where he was when he left the game, he 100% could have been a starter for a team. Not only a great starter, but a starter, one of those replaceable level starters, I think, or a really good backup. He really could have been. I mean, he was, you know. No one wanted to touch him.
No.
We've gone through all those issues. Del, do you think?
I think
Colin
the Texans
Kaepernick's
are going to
work out. Yeah, Texans won't be there.
Texans
but
are the perfect spot.
Do you think
spot
Colin Kaepernick will have any head coaches or GMs at the? Emmanuel Acho made the.
Not
the,
on Saturday morning. They won't have a head coach.
Are there any bye weeks this week?
It's tomorrow. Oh yeah, there's bye weeks.
Okay.
Those guys maybe.
Where's it being held? Atlanta?
I don't know. I just know
Dallas.
The controversy surrounding it because the NFL is taking heat because of what they did or did not promise.
What did they do?
Allegedly, they were supposed to give Colin's camp a list of the people who were going to attend. That was what they said. The NFL said, no, we didn't promise that. Colin's people say you did promise that. And then people have reached out to Colin's camp from NFL teams and go, hey, man, good luck, but we're not going to be there. And we're not really sure why they're having this because it wasn't like something they were like, hey, all the teams, remember, this is happening. So it's a weird thing where there's no real clear direction of what's supposed to happen.
Well, they don't want – but look, this is really kind of a non-story. Mm-hmm. The fact is you can want a list all you want, but the NFL can't make anyone come. And I'm sure the NFL would love to have as many people there as possible. But the NFL can't make teams come. And in season, especially this late in the season, it's going to be hard. I think you'll have a couple GMs show up. I think you'll have it. Will they be for show or not? I don't know. You're probably right. No head coaches will be there. I think a couple GMs will show up.
Yep. More than likely. All right, let's talk about.
What if John Dorsey shows up? Hey, buddy, boy. I just want to get as much heat going on this team as possible.
Baker,
your job's not safe, buddy boy.
Let's talk right now about Jeff Aronoff, not John Dorsey. Let's talk Jeff Aronoff, and let's talk Absolute Marble and Granite. Let's talk about putting in that entire kitchen. Let's talk about putting in that entire outdoor patio. Let's talk about the outdoor kitchen. Let's talk about a fireplace. Let's talk about your vanity. Anything, marble, brick, tile, anything that's going to make it look beautiful. And when you add marble, when you add new countertops, you're making, I mean, that makes your entire house. It makes it all richer. It makes it better. It makes it more sellable. It puts more value on it. So if you're, and by the way, again, you don't have to have someone design it. You got Jeff Aronoff right there, and he can help you select. He can suggest. He does this every day, so he will be able to do all of that for you at 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. Absolute marble and granite. Tell him you heard it here. Get 20% off. 713-880-2822.
ESPN. 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
It's truly humbling to even think about that. You know, growing up playing this game, growing up loving this game, growing up... pitching in front of my idols, you know, talking to some of them, getting to just experience the game that I love so much. I mean, having you even just say something like that, you know, is truly special. And I mean, you don't really want to think about it or focus on it because, you know, you don't want anything to subside. You don't want the work ethic or the fire to go out, you know. But sometimes in moments like this, you just got to take a second and appreciate it.
Justin Verlander, Cy Young. The Astro, Justin Verlander. I was thinking about this. He's won a Cy here now. He won his World Series here. Is he going in as an Astro? Is he going in the Hall as an Astro or a Tiger?
Probably Tiger.
I guess.
Oh, wait. What's the rule? You know what's the thing on that? They got to choose what hat they
have.
I think probably Tiger.
Probably Tiger, but this is where he's putting up. He's got a Cy here now. He's got a World Series here, a championship. This is putting him over the top. I mean, you could argue that he is as good as ever here. And, oh, by the way, winning at a clip. Now, they won. Those Tiger teams won a few years ago and got to the World Series. But this Astros team, this is where he's... You know, he's putting the exclamation point on his Hall of Fame career. So I don't know that it's a lot. I guess he's going in as a Tiger, I guess. But signing here for two more years and putting up the numbers that he's going to put up over the next 2 years. I hope there's not at some point, you know, I hope it's not a precipitous fall for him. You know, we can't expect him. Can we now, next year and the year after, can we expect him to be the Justin Verlander we saw this year?
I mean, not theoretically, but it's not like, I mean, he just won a Cy Young. I'm assuming that it's still going to be pretty good. Yeah.
Is there?
It really has to be. There really is no choice.
After what we saw in the postseason from him, do you have to load manage him? He had to get to...
I don't know if that's his
choice.
He
had to
get
to 2,000 strikeouts. He had to get to 300 strikeouts. I mean, that took every ounce of every start till the end. He had to get to, you know, the most wins because he had Gerrit Cole on his ass. He got the no-hitter in September. You know, he probably, at his age, he probably was worn out. Do you have to load? If you're AJ and Luno this offseason, you got to talk about load managing him. Cole was as strong. Cole missed about 13 days in August.
I don't feel like he missed two starts, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't. Here's the thing. Have we talked to. We're kind of blind in this also. We're still. Justin Verlander, I've never seen him talk about whether or not he got fatigued. Did AJ Hinch ever say anything? I never remember AJ Hinch because they were in the middle of the World Series. I never saw AJ Hinch talk about him being fatigued. Is this something Justin Verlander would be willing to do? Is skipping a start better than pitch count management? Sometimes I think skipping a start might be better. But right. but pitchers are so weird about staying on their
yeah,
on their schedule.
Stay, yeah.
But Justin Verlander, I mean, but you talked about a guy who skipped two starts.
Right.
Gerrit Cole. He went 15 days
without pitching from August 7th to 22nd.
Seemed fine.
And that's late in the year, August. And he was as strong. He's strong like bull at the end. He's younger, but I mean, I honestly think you got to think about for if you want him to be at his best, that's what you're playing for, is to be at your best at the end in the playoffs.
And why are you worried about it?
Verlander wasn't.
Are you 100% sure that people aren't cheating to beat him in the playoffs by whistling and banging on drums?
Well, he was freaking out in the dugout.
Yes, he was.
He was freaking out that there's whistling.
They got me. What am I doing?
Now, you know what? We got to bring a garbage can to every game and hit it, and you know, for the opposing hitters.
Well, remember Eric Layton, when he was on with us, he was joking before he was going to go to Game 7 that everyone's so freaked out about
whistle every pitch.
He's like, I'm just going to be yelling, like, look at his arm, look at his glove hand, and like just yell out stuff like, what am I doing? Yeah. I have really had my eyes opened over the last 2 years to pitch tipping, how good these guys are at that, how teams are cheating, teams skirt the rules. Like the whole baseball has just such a long, rich history of either flagrant steroid use, flagrant. I remember as a kid watching. I was watching, what was that show with Johnny Bench with Twib Notes? This Week in Baseball.
Yeah.
So I'm watching This Week in Baseball. And, you know, no, it wasn't that because that was for kids. It was something else where Gaylord Perry shows how he threw a spitball. He was still actually pitching. he was 48 and still had another year, and he looked 60. And Gaylord Perry's like, well, this is what I do. I take the Vaseline and I do this. You know, I used to hear this. How about this? I'll just tell this one. Kids, you might want to put the earmuffs on for this one. How about this one? A prominent National League Hall of Famer one of the guys who was very good against the Houston Astros. I heard a story that he used to put Vaseline up his ass and just look like he was just like, let me get a little adjustment here, my underwear creeping up. And he was just constantly had a little slip.
Yeah, what ump is going to go out? Hey, let me pull your pants down.
Hold on, let's check. Hold on, let me make sure that's what I think. Oh, yeah, you're good.
Yeah.
Like you plausible deniability.
I got some hemorrhoids here. Yeah, okay.
It could easily be that. Yeah. So he would do this, he would dig for gold, and then all of a sudden he's throwing a bunch of pitches that move all over the place. You definitely know this player. He is in the Hall of Fame. But you know, then you start remembering, oh, that's right. We also heard stories of Mike Scott. And even when I was a kid, Roger Craig goes, there's a scuff mark. I remember being in high school, and Roger Craig is like, excuse me, here are 12 baseballs with a scuff mark in the exact same spot, and we're like, this is such a bunch of crap. Whatever, Roger Craig. In my heart, I knew, okay, maybe he is.
Maybe.
He didn't,
no,
this is kind of a one-and-done situation.
He definitely
And
was.
How did he do it?
A second baseman had Bill a Doran. Little nail. Billy Doran had a little nail in his glove. So when they threw it around, he scuffed it.
Here you go. Back to
and
you.
He was pretty damn good at it. All right, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. And you know what? Man, if Mike Scott was around, you bet on him every time he pitched.
Mm-hmm.
You know that? And here's the deal. Is next year you can bet on Justin Verlander or Gerrit Cole or Jacob deGrom or whoever you want to bet. Not Jacob deGrom.
$50.
He's great, but they don't win.
I figured out $50 would have made $25,000 if you had bet the road team to win every game in the World Series.
$50
parlay would have won you $25,000.
That's nice. And you could have done that. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio. You wouldn't have done that, but you could have. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio, and you can bet anything you want. People, listen to me. I want you to get to mybookie.ag, promo code radio. You put in $1,000. You put in $100, they'll match it. Up to $1,000, they will match it. And so you get double to play. So all you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio, and start playing in-game betting as well and everything else that you would possibly want to bet on. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio.
ESPN 97.5.